We talked about the will of God a few weeks ago. I'm going to touch base on a couple of things, and then we'll go to this. We're talking about the will of God, and then your willingness. How do you get willing? There's two ways to get willing. One is the love of God. Now, usually that's not your motivator. Another way to get willing is fear of man. Amen? Hallelujah. Most of us get willing because of fear of man. Fear of consequences. You know, kids get willing real quick. Well, you want to stick or do you want, you know, to obey? See, that's our idea of willingness, of where we get willing. So I want to read some stuff here. First of all, if you're in Exodus 35, just hold on there. Of course, Jesus, like we talked about a few weeks ago, is at Luke 2:22, saying they're out in the garden. And Jesus has his disciples praying and sleeping and praying. Okay, pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Huh? What? Jesus, speaking to his Father, Luke 22:42 says, "If thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will." Not my will. Everybody say, not my will. See, you're being prepared. You're being transformed. You're being... Hey there. How'd you show up? Where'd you come from? You weren't there before. Not my will. Not my will. See, this is our heart. That's your spirit speaking. Not my will. Did you know your spirit says that? Huh? You know your spirit says that? It's not my will. That's your renewed soul. You know, we have a thing here. Praise the Lord. Anyway. We have a renewed mind and an unrenewed mind. Anybody know? Your mind, picture a big circle. You're not going to use your mind, use your imagination here today. Big circle. Line drawn right through it. Lines right through the center of it. You have your spirit on this side, your body on this side, your soul is that middle circle. And it has a line drawn through the middle of it. Part of that soul, one half part of it, what if not one half, sometimes one little nothing, has been renewed by the Word of God. Renewed to the truth, renewed to the wisdom of God, renewed to the understanding of the truth that you are in Christ Jesus. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. He loves you absolutely, positively, unconditionally. You are the beloved of God, and you have no fear and nothing to worry about. On the other side, then you've got everything to worry about. That other side of that circle and the other side of that line is the one that typically is closer to the surface. Anybody notice that? Because how many notice your emotions are very close to the surface in many cases, huh? Are your emotions close to the surface? You know, something goes wrong. Hey, don't do that. You know, when your kids do something wrong, don't do that. You know, that bothers me. So all of these things that are close to the surface, especially close to the emotions, that's where the mind has been unrenewed. It has not been yet transformed. It has not been, it is still conformed to this world, which is close to your flesh and your body. Okay, it's still close to your flesh and your body. And your flesh and your body has desires of its own. All the lust of the eye, the lust of the pride of life, all of those things come out of the flesh. All those deeds come out of the flesh. Anybody still got some deeds that come out of the flesh? Three of you. Okay, you're liars, the rest of you. Amen? Hallelujah. I've got them. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, ask my wife. I've got all kinds of deeds. And I've probably got more deeds than she knows about. Anybody of y'all like that? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Is that all of those deeds come out of the flesh. All those things come out of the flesh. You know what? God doesn't care about that. Does he mean he doesn't hate sin? No, of course he hates sin. But the point is, he's not going to get it through your effort. He's not going to get restoration and strength through your effort. How many know that's why Jesus came? Anybody know? That's why Jesus came, is because I couldn't do anything. He says, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't produce anything. Where did the fruit come from? It's the fruit of the... Not the fruit of you. Amen? It's the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit produces the fruit. If I abide in Him, He is the vine, I'm the branch. Where's fruit show up? On the branch. Now, does that branch do any effort? That branch just... Hang there. Boop. Oh, man, look. The fruit just grows. It just produces right there. Branch doesn't go... trying real hard. I'll go get some fruit out. No, the branch does not do that. Branch does not try. Branch does not produce effort. Branch is passive. Branch is built to bear fruit. Amen? That's the purpose of the branch. Your purpose is to bear fruit. Not to make fruit, just to bear fruit. Just to hold it, just to hang there with it. Now, the fruit is not for you. Fruit's for somebody else, isn't it? Huh? You ever seen a tree eat its own apple? That'd be silly, wouldn't it? Tree eating his own apple. That'd be silly. I think the fruit's for somebody else. Tree's already got everything it needs. Boy, it's pumping. The branch has got everything it needs. It's hooked into the vine. Don't you have everything you need? Say, yes, I do. Say, hallelujah. See, that's why that branch is willing. Amen? That branch is willing. That branch is not giving God a hard time at all. That branch is willing because that branch is fully convinced that everything that it has need of, it's being supplied. Amen? And that's you. Because Philippians 3:20 says, I live in heaven. My conversation is in heaven. Everything that you see about me is in heaven. Now, you're saying, well, yeah, it may be true of you, brother, but me, I've got a hard time. No, I just go back to that verse. I don't care what I feel like, what I think like, what I say, what's going on today. I go back to that scripture. I go back to that verse. I go back to God's Word. I go back and say, what did God say about me? Because it doesn't matter what I see, think, or feel. It matters what God said about me. And who, if I have walked, if I'm walking in the Spirit, that is, I'm walking according to what God said about me. If my thoughts are what God said about me. My thoughts are what God has done and produced and already set in place. Huh? Anybody with me? See, in other words, you're trying to work out and do a nice work and do a nice thing. Don't worry about that part. Don't worry about that part. I mean, you may do it, but don't put any count on it. Don't put any hope in it. Don't put don't put points down for it. Amen? Your points are, you don't get points based on the work. You know, well, you get rewards, brother. Forget them. Forget the rewards. You know, well, I'm working for my reward. Yeah. Knock it off. Just rejoice. Just rejoice. Amen? Just give thanks to God and don't forget about trying to work for a reward. Just know that God is in you. He's with you. He's producing in you. Your willingness has to do with the fact that you are in Him. He is in you. Now, this is a very interesting message because what we're talking about here sounds like New Testament theology, New Testament reality. But here we're going to look at Exodus chapter 35, and I want you to do that. And Moses gathered together all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded that you should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever does work therein shall be put to death. Yahoo. Read that again. I said, whosoever shall does work therein will be put to death. Y'all excited about that verse? Don't do any work then. My recommendation is, once you're in the Sabbath, don't do any work. Now, you're in the Sabbath. I'm going to go back to New Testament. I'm jumping back and forth. You live in the New Testament, don't you? The Sabbath is all the time. No more work. No more work. No more stress. No more strain. No more effort. Hallelujah. To please God. Go to work tomorrow. Go to work tomorrow. Okay? You'll get fired if you don't go. And you won't have any food to eat. We're talking about God. We're talking about pleasing God. God's not after you to work. He's not on top of your case to produce fruit. Amen? Who produces the fruit? Spirit. Spirit produces fruit. We were talking about this Thursday over with the ladies. Galatians chapter 5. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Everybody knows what those are, right? Fornication, lust, adulteries, lasciviousness, lying, cheating, spitting, backbiting, biting and backbiting, all kinds of things. Those are the works. They're obvious. We don't even need to explain those. We don't need to go further with those. You know, let's see. Gee, I wonder what that is. You know, no. I mean, you may not understand that word in that particular verse. You can do a little word study, and I bet you'd find something that you actually knew about. You know, if you lascivious, now what in the world is that? Well, you do the look up, and you'll find some stuff you're familiar with. All right. See, the works of the flesh are obvious. The works of the flesh are clean. They're you know, there they are. You know, you wake up in the morning, somebody stole your Tootsie Roll or your bag of M&Ms, in my case, and boy, you just get in the flesh real fast. Amen? You just get in the flesh real fast. And see, that's flesh, isn't it? That's just your emotions going haywire. You know what? God doesn't count that. It's not helpful to you. It's not helpful to you. It's not helpful to your family. It's not helpful to your neighbor. God doesn't count that, though. Okay? So what he's doing, his desire is to cleanse you, to kill that part of you that is fruitless. He wants to kill that part of you that is fruitless. What's that called? Anybody gardening? What's that called? Pruning. So he wants to prune you. And you want to be pruned, don't you? I want to be pruned. It's like having your hair cut. It's no big deal. It's like having your fingernails trimmed. You want to be pruned. You want to be pruned. How many know that the branch doesn't go, ow! You're not talking about cutting your finger off. You know, I think when people think about pruning, they think about somebody cutting their finger off. How many know when you're a plant, it ain't like cutting your finger off? Huh? Anybody know that? How many know your finger, if you cut it off, doesn't grow back? I mean, it could. God could do that, but, you know, typically, you know, that doesn't happen. So it's not like the plant thing. The plant thing, you cut that thing off and it grows five different ways. When you're cut back as a plant, when you're cut back as a branch, you're being set to grow. Cutting off all of those things that are against you. You're opposing yourself, and God's cutting all those things off. Can you say amen? Amen? Thank you. Say thank you. See? That's what you want. Father, I want that. So be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of chastising. Chastising's not, you know, I mean, God taking this crutch. Okay, come on. I want to give you a little chastising. Huh? No. Chastising is where you're corrected. You're instructed in righteousness. Because you're a son. You're a daughter. You're not an illegitimate child. And even if you were, now you're adopted. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody, well, I was illegitimate. I guess God doesn't like me. No, you've been adopted. You were orphaned. You were left alone. You were put aside. You were cast off. Anybody like that? Don't raise your hand. You were cast off. You were put aside. And it may have been not from your family, but it may have been from you know, business. It may have been from others whom, it may have been from the church. It may have been from the church. You know, well, gee, I thought that was God. No, that was just people. I heard Jim say something a couple of weeks ago on something said, forget people. You know, if they're not blessing you, forget them. just let them go off. You know, count them for nothing. I mean, don't be hung up on people. Amen. How many know? Well, she was a woman of God. Well, knock it off. She was not. And if she was, she still had sin in her. All right? Amen? Are you offended by people of God, holy people? Should be. You should be offended by them. I mean, just even in the natural, you know. It's good for you to not have hope in people. Amen? It's good for you to not have hope in people. Hallelujah. Your willingness is not based on people. Your willingness to do something or not do something is not based on people or what they said to you or what they did to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Your willingness is based on the Holy Spirit. Let's read this. Okay? So whoever doesn't work works on the Sabbath is going to be put to death. So don't do any work. Okay, quit working on the Sabbath. Well, that's 7 days a week for you, brother. Hallelujah. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. Just be cold. And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take you from among you, an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart. Isn't it interesting there? Okay, it's not like tax collection. You know, they say it's voluntary. Just try that. Take you from among you, whosoever is of a willing heart. Willing heart. Well, I don't know if I got one of those or not. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord. Gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. We go on and on and on. Verse 21. Keep on going. There's a lot of stuff they're bringing. Verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. Whose heart, ruach. Same word as in the New Testament, the breath. Whose heart stirred him up. Everybody whose heart stirred him up. In the New Testament is pneuma. Not pneuma, but pneuma. Ruach. Mm-hmm. Ruach is the Hebrew. So that's whose heart, whose breath stirred him up. And everyone whom his spirit made willing. Everyone whom his spirit made willing. His spirit makes you willing. Ooh. See, these were people of faith. I'm going to tell you why this happened. It's because these were people who were believers. These were people who believed in the walk that Moses had brought to them, in the Word of God that Moses had brought to them. You remember over in Ezra when he began to read the Word of God. He got to the people who had not heard the Word of God. People began to weep. People began to cry. People began to jump and shout and be excited because the Word of God was come again to the people. Amen? As the Word of God will set you free. The Word of God is not a condemning word. It's a word of freedom. Amen? It condemns sin in the flesh. Well, yeah, that hurts because you're full of it, right? You've got sin everywhere. But it condemns sin in the flesh, but it raises you up. The Word of God condemns sin in the flesh, but it raises you up. Are you raised? See, if you're in Christ and you're raised from the dead, you're in Him. You died with Him. You rose with Him. Rose with Him. You've risen from the dead. All right? Now, you've got sins. Not a problem. Not a problem. We just thank God that they're forgiven. Father, I thank you right now that I just did that ugly thing, and I thank you that your forgiveness is bought and paid for me. We acknowledge it by the mouth. We acknowledge by your mouth. Listen, I want you to do it with your mouth. I want you to acknowledge. Just don't think about it. Just thinking about forgiveness. You know, I want you to first of all have it come out of your mouth. Amen? I want you to first of all repent, confess, and let that come out of your mouth. Let it be, you know, the words of your mouth justify you. It's because they're the words of your mouth according to the Word of God. They're God's words. You're repeating, you're saying God's words. You're declaring God's words. You're in the courtroom, if you didn't say anything, you wouldn't get nothing much get done. You have to have a what? Testimony. You have to have a testimony of the truth. So you want to have a testimony of the truth in your own ears. You want to have a testimony of the truth in your own ears. Now, back to this verse. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle and of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garments. So they brought all that stuff. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. As many as were willing-hearted. See, this is the Spirit of God, same Spirit of God as He moved on Elijah and caused him to run. And, you know, what did he run to? But anyway, he ran. I don't mean when he ran from Jezebel. I mean when he ran to do the will of God. I mean, Philip caught away. You know, Philip caught away in the spirit from the eunuch, and he was known somewhere else preaching the Word of God. See, that you're being transported, translated, changed, moved. You know, your heart is being made willing. All right? Now, see here. verse 29, look at that. The children of Israel brought a willing offering to the Lord. Every man, we're not teaching on tithing today. We'll take a big offering after this. The children of Israel brought a willing offering to the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart, listen to that, over and over and over, whose heart made him willing. You didn't get willing because you were afraid. It wasn't, okay, come on, bring to this offering, or brother, you're going to get a curse from God. Did he say that? I said, did he say that? He said, everybody whose heart made him willing, anybody your heart's willing, come on and give an offering to the temple of God, to the kingdom of God, to build up the kingdom of God. See, your willing heart builds up the kingdom of God, doesn't it? Huh? It's because you're not afraid anymore. You're not afraid of what's going to happen, what might happen, what did happen, and the consequences of it. Anybody afraid of consequences of something that happened? Give it up. Give it up. I don't mean give up the fact that you're afraid, but just give up the fear. Amen? Right now. And now. Well, gee, that thing was so big and so bad, and what I did and what she did and what they did, and knock it off. See, you're bound by circumstances. You're bound by I know that there are things that are happening right now that have immediate, almost immediate consequences. But listen, the fear that you have is tearing you down. The fear that you have of those things is tearing you down. Refuse it. Say, no, in the name of Jesus. My God is bigger than everything that I have screwed up. Everything that's been messed up in my house and in my life, my God is bigger than that. And I'm in Him and He's in me. Your willingness to declare even that. You have a willingness because your spirit is willing to declare. Your flesh is unwilling to say the Word of God. Anybody? You know, you are willing to say the trouble. You're willing to say the problem, but you're not willing to say the answer. Until I see it, brother, I ain't going to say it. Well, you're a dummy. My gosh, I'm not coming to this church again. Well, you should, because I'm telling you the truth. Do I get irritable? Sure. But I get happy pretty quick. Do I get happy pretty quick? Yeah, thank you. I'm not going to stay irritable, because I don't like it. It's irritating. Is everything going down the tube? Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. You know, one way or another, things are going down the tube. I don't count it. Amen? You know, guess what? This whole world's going down the tube. Anybody know that? Hello. This thing is going to burn, isn't it? Hallelujah. Your caddy's going to burn. Oh, no. You know, your house in Highland Park or your house in Stop 6 is going to burn. What's the Dallas equivalent of Stop 6? I don't know what that is. That's low. I don't want to get anybody's neighborhood. I'm in Dallas. Never mind. If your neighborhood is the bad neighborhood, where all the drug dealers live and all the murders take place, praise the Lord. Dallas. Dallas is in general. Just build a fence around it. See? If that's your neighborhood, thank God. Thank God. Rejoice. Rejoice exactly where you are. See, now I want to rejoice later. I want to rejoice after I get out. I want to rejoice after I move on. No, don't rejoice then. Rejoice now. You'll never be happy. If you rejoice after you move on, you'll never be happy. You'll be always grumpy. You'll always be looking for something else. I'm happy right now. I'm happy if nothing ever happens again. Amen? I'm happy if I died. If I dropped down dead right now, there's nothing I didn't do. There's a lot of stuff I didn't do, but I don't count it. Amen? Let it go. You remember when you were young? I mean, every kid does this. Is, you know, I don't want Jesus to come because I hadn't gotten married yet. I hadn't had any kids. I got kids who say that now, you know. And I was saying that when I was like 14 or something. Yeah, I don't want Jesus to come. I didn't get to do everything yet. You know what? When you're a kid, you're dumb. You don't know anything. I just want Jesus to come. It's happy. I'm happy about that. You know what? Because see, you don't have faith in God. You don't trust. You don't know that God loves you. You don't know that there is nothing better than living in the presence of God. You're not going to lose anything. You're not going to miss anything. You're not going to lose anything by losing this world. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, don't go drive into a brick wall. Don't do that. You know, God's got something for you to do. Amen? Stick around. Don't get divorced. Don't leave your husband or your wife. I mean, if you're getting beat up, yeah, just go stay in a hotel for a while or something, but don't let that thing go. The devil wants to do that. The devil wants to destroy lives. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy the testimony of his word. And I'm not talking about the fact of whether you look good or not. I'm talking about that marriage is a covenant. You got in it? Well, praise the Lord. Then God can get you out of it. I don't mean out of the marriage. What I mean is out of trouble. Amen? He can get you out of trouble. Boy, I'm in trouble. Look who I married. Well, yeah, you sure did. So stick with it, baby. Stick with it, you know. Who said I do? I did. Well, there you have it. Amen? Well, he didn't. He said he did and he didn't. And I said I do and he did and I did. Well, I don't know that you did. Hallelujah. And even if you did, don't count yourself as anything. You're still wicked. You're still complaining, aren't you? Huh? Well, you're not doing anything. Well, Jesus knew that. Jesus also knew that when he married you. Amen. Jesus knew what he was getting into when he married you. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Verse 29 here, Exodus 35. The children of Israel brought a willing offering to the Lord, and every man and woman whose heart made them willing, say men and women are included, whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. So the work or the deed that was commanded by Moses. All right? Look at 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Go over here. Get out of the Torah. Turn to the right. Go past 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 and 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. If the pages are sticking together, don't worry. There is a chapter 28. You'll find it. Okay. Let's see where we want to start here. Verse 2. David the king stood upon his feet and said, "Hear my brethren and my people, as for me, I had in my heart to build a house for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant, for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all of Israel. And all of my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said to me, 'Solomon, your son shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day.' Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And you, Solomon, my son, know you the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind." With a willing mind, a perfect heart, and a willing mind. "For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Okay, I want you to go to... Now, back there, just in verse 8, just as a side here. He says, keep. And I did not look this verse up because I didn't notice it here. But to keep, in most of the cases and occurrences in the Old Testament, is not to do as it is if to obey, but to keep is to guard and to observe and to hold watch over His commandments and over His statutes. Is to watch over them, hold them as your own, make them as yours. Don't let them escape you. In other words, the commandments of God, the words of God, keep them. Keep them. Don't let them get away. Amen? Can you understand that? Is keep them and don't let them get away from you. Keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land. So as you watch over His word, as you hear His promise, you're being transformed into those who possess the land that God has already given to you. How many of the first vessel to be possessed, as we talked about a couple of times ago, is you. The first thing to be possessed is you. You want to be possessed of you by your spirit and not by your flesh. Amen? So you want to be possessed by the Spirit of man through the Holy Ghost and not have your flesh possess you. Anybody have had that experience? Is where your flesh and your mind and your will and your emotions, everything you've learned, everything that is about your world and your life possesses you. It's got a hold on you and you can't get free. Not true. Not true. Meditate upon the Word of God. Hear Him. Hear His promise. Hear His Word. I've delivered you from all your enemies. Sin shall not have dominion over you. I've got this sin. I just can't get out. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Father, I thank you. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Hallelujah. There are those things that have been a besetting sin for you, for me, for you. Those things cannot have dominion over you forever. They, in fact, will fall away and they, in fact, will fall apart and die. You believe that? You believe the truth and not a lie? I said, do you believe the truth and not the lie? The lie is I'll never get free. The lie is this thing's going to bother me forever. The lie is the oppression that I felt from people and from family and from all of these things, from work and from lack of money. All of these things, all of these oppressions will just never go away because I can't figure a way out. I can't get the right MLM. I can't get the right... I've been tried every business that there is to try. I've lost thousands of dollars trying to, you know, do all this stuff. Anybody like that? You know? I've lost my share in those things. I'll tell you what. See, God is your success. Not the MLM, the latest MLM, not the latest business model that's coming along. Amen? Hallelujah. That's right. Plenty of them coming along. Plenty of salespeople coming along. Are some of them any good? Well, maybe a few. But you can't listen to every advertisement that comes by. Oh, it's the greatest thing. You know? Quit it. Quit depending on that. You want to, first of all, you want to learn to hear the Holy Spirit. Not just looking for the first, next thing that's going to make you $1 million. You'll lose $1 million. Possess this good land. This is a good land right here God give you. Yeah, it's a little land. It's a short land, but it's a good one. Hallelujah. I like this land. I'm going to keep it. Amen. And leave it for an inheritance. Possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you. Okay? Now serve Him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. We're at verse 9. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands the imaginations and thoughts. The Lord knows every mind. He searches your imagination and your heart. Your imagination. How many got imagination? How many got a wild imagination? Hallelujah. I mean, that thing will think everything. It just goes out of this world. You know, and the imaginings that are to come to us are to come through the Word of God. The imaginations that God wants is those that come from His Word. Not the imaginations that come of your destruction and of your the flesh that is reeling and taking over your brains every afternoon at 3:00. Well, I don't even know what that means, but you know. Whatever it is, see, there's an imagination that takes a hold of you and just beats the tar out of you. And it's a lie from the enemy. I want you to receive it right now. There, see, I want you to receive that right now. See, that's a lie from the enemy. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You are not an angry white woman. I had a woman in a political meeting the other day. She stood up and she said, "I'm the angry white woman from the city of Arlington." Some activist kind of girl, you know. But see, that's your fear, is that you're the angry white woman. You're the angry guy. You're the angry person that just blows up upon everybody. No, that's not you. "Well, yeah, it is me." No, shut up. "You slap me in the face. I'm leaving." Well, fine, leave, but just listen to me first before you go. Listen, rejoice. Rejoice! You're full of yourself so many times. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're just like, you know, so, that, you know, that offends me. So what? Knock it off. Quit being offended. Quit being so tender. I'm tender-hearted. No, you're not. You're just a complainer. Stop it. Rejoice. Don't take an offense anymore. Don't ever take an offense again. Here they come. See, because offenses will come. And woe to whom through whom they come. In other words, let that guy deal with his own sins. But you don't have to take it. You don't have to take offense, do you? Yes, I do. No, you don't have to take an offense. You can just let it go. I mean, it's just going by. Here, I'll take that. Thank you. You know, they aimed it right at you. Whoop. You missed me. I love you. Missed me. I love you. Because you are walking with the Holy Spirit. The love of Jesus Christ is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You are a lover. You are a lover. You are a lover. You have a willing heart. You have a willing heart. Your heart is in you. It's been made willing. Not my, what Jesus said, not my will, but yours. Father, if it be possible, this is my will, let this situation pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. In other words, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. I'd be in flesh, it just in my own desires and hopes and my thoughts, I would prefer not. However, not my will. Not my will. See, this is you. This is your heart of hearts. This is the heart of God that's been manifest through the Holy Spirit. You have the heart of Jesus Christ. You have the joy of Jesus Christ. This is your life. This is your ministry. You know, you're not here. I mean, why would you be here? Why not just go to heaven? Just, you know, God's got you here for a purpose, for a reason. It's not to make $1 million. It's not to be in the biggest MLM. It's not to, you know, make the NASCAR circuit. You know, your purpose for being here is not to, you know, make gravy and biscuits every morning. Albeit, we appreciate it. Some more than others. Some a little too much. Your purpose is to glorify God in the earth, amongst the people. Amen? This is your purpose, to magnify God amongst the people. You are a demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Doesn't mean that you don't wake up and take your shower and make biscuits and gravy, or not, or pour a bowl of cereal, or do nothing. Let's just go to work. All of these things that we do those things. Yes, we do those things. We walk around, we do the things that we, you know, we plan our way. A man plans his way, Proverbs 16:9, and the Lord directs his steps. A woman, same thing. The woman plans her way, the Lord directs her steps. Amen? The Lord is directing your steps. That's what your desire is. You wake up, you're constantly moving. You're constantly doing, you know, the thing that your hand finds to do. But in every moment, your expectation is that the Holy Spirit is using you, is producing in you a new man, a new woman, a new life. And that new life is being made complete. That good work which He began in you, He is going to finish it. He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And your willingness is knowing that He is not counting all the stuff that's to the contrary. Amen? Your willingness is not based on the fact, well, God's going to get me if I don't do it right. Your willingness is based on the fact that you're in Him and He's in you. He loves you. You're in Him. You're His child, His beloved. Amen? Now, here we go. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Again, it always sounds like we're going to the offering scriptures, you know. Go figure on that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, once you get started, just time flies, doesn't it? Second Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we want you to know of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. The grace is a gift. Charis is a gift. So that's a gift that's bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Macedonia is the upper portion of Greece. You know, you got the two parts of Greece. You know, the upper portion and the lower portion. This is the upper portion. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, their lack, an apparent lack, abounded to the riches of their liberality. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, the less they had, the more they desired to give. For to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power, up to and beyond their ability, they were, what? Willing of themselves. For to their, up to and beyond, well, what's beyond your power? It's a motivation of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That's where your heart's been made willing. Your heart's been stretched. Anybody like that? It does happen. Giving is kind of a good example because it's where your heart is stretched beyond what you normally may do. You have a desire to do more than you could normally do or would normally think to do. For to their power I bear record. I heard this. I saw this. And beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, please, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, he would also finish in you the same grace also. Talking about the Corinthians, obviously. We're in the Corinthian letter. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in diligence, and in your love to us, everything, as you abound in everything else, see that you abound in this grace always, also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty you might become rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to begin to be forward or desirous a year ago. Now listen. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that out of that which you have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that which he has not. Now here, he says, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, that there may be performance of that out of that which you have. For if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that which a man has, and not according to that which he has not. See, now, when we talk about this willing mind, a ready mind, your mind has been made ready. How? By the Word of God. Your mind has been made ready, purified, transformed. Your mind has been transformed by truth rather than by your experience in this world. Rather than being conformed to this world, letting the world mold you, or being you being molded around this world and this the way in which the world responds and acts and speaks and talks, you're not any longer conformed to this world, but you in fact are being transformed to something totally different because of the truth that's been preached to you. And here we have here the readiness to will, which is based on that transformation. The readiness to will is based on that transformation, not upon your old mind, not upon your old thinking, right? Your old thinking is just that. It's old thinking. See, many of you are bound up and irritated by your old thinker. Huh? Don't let it struggle against your old thinking. You think your old thinking is a problem. The only problem is that you believe in it, that you believe it's a problem. The only problem is that you believe that it's a problem, because the Word of God is alive and powerful. The Word of God will divide. You don't have to divide. See, you're using your own mind to try to figure things out. See, the Word of God, what? Divides between soul and spirit. You avail yourself of His Word by His Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is that we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. The spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You're not going to figure this thing out on your own. You're not. This transformation doesn't take place because you knew how to read the Word of God properly. You read the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to transform your mind. Transform your mind. Does that mean you don't do a Bible study? No. Does that mean you don't do a word study in the Greek and the Hebrew? I mean, it's easy. Everybody say blue. Blue letter Bible. Showing my son that the other day. It's .com. You go there, you can do anything I do. Amen? You can do anything. You got the same spirit, number one. That's not in there. Blueletterbible.com, one of the best online resources you can find. If you like it, whatever. You'll find it. Do a search. Is that what it is? I just got it clicked. I just got it on an icon. Okay, org. Well, don't go to .com. I know sometimes weird things pop up then. Don't go to .com. All right? My point being is that, you know, don't sweat over these things. Don't sweat over these things. You is this willingness that is coming through is the Holy Spirit coming. Him in whom His Spirit made willing. That Spirit that makes willing is, again, if I went over to 1 Corinthians 2, is He says that, verse 9, that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Has not, eye hasn't seen. Ear hasn't heard. Your mind hadn't figured out. That your unrenewed mind is your conformed mind. The mind that thinks like this world. The mind that was raised here. The mind that was raised in Dallas. The mind that was raised in... Somebody name a little town. Aubrey. Thank you. You weren't raised in Aubrey. All right. Farmersville, whatever. What? La Mesa, that's the one I was thinking of. All right. So He says, but God has revealed them, the things that God's prepared. He's revealed them by His Spirit. Well, you just can't know. Well, no, He said here, God revealed them by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches all the things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that's on the inside of him? You can't know anybody. You can't even, you know, you can't know anybody. Only You only know you, and you know you're wicked. I know you do good things. It's okay. But the fact is, Jesus died for you because you were wicked. You didn't have any hope. There was no hope for you. None. Zip. You can't come in. You can't get in. God is so pure, so good. His ways are high above my ways. He's different than me. How many know God is different than you? Amen. He is different than you. Amen. You know what? He likes you, though. He wants to invite you in. He wants you to be like Him. He wants you to be inside. He wants you to be playing with Him. He likes you. He thinks you're great. All right? So now, He says, now we have not received, or we have received, excuse me, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things, those are the things that got revealed, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak. Paul talks about him, he's as ministry. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now what does that mean? It means this. The natural man can't receive. We have received. Verse 12 says, we have received. 14 says, the natural man cannot receive. Well, what's that say about you? You're unnatural. You're not natural. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So that means you can receive the things of the Spirit of God. Are you expecting the things of the Spirit of God? Are you expecting them? Huh? Do you have an expectation? I do. I have an expectation. Because God said to Jesus, or Jesus said to His disciples, He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. There's a lot of things I want to tell you now, but you just can't handle them. Because I could not hear and or, you know, enter into your head. There's a lot of things I'd like to share with you, but I can't. But the Holy Spirit, when He's come, He's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to take of mine, He's going to show it to you. All the things that I've told you, He's going to reveal them to you. So that's what's happening with you. He said, look at verse, hang on. I got too many pages of notes here, people. And I know you don't want me to do them all. All right. Couple more scriptures here. Let's do this. Romans chapter 7, Philippians chapter 2. Romans chapter 7 and Philippians chapter 2. We talked about this when we talked about the will of God, doing the will of God. Is verse 18 here. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I do not know. To will is present with me. That's the heart. That is your inner man, your spirit, to will. There is a will of the Spirit. There is a will that comes in the Spirit through the Word of God. There is a will that comes. But in that willingness, that willingness is to trust in God's promise rather than to trust in your experience. You understand? It's to trust in God's word rather than your experience. Your experience, see, you're trusting your experience and decisions as to whether or not to love, whether or not, because I've been hurt, whether or not to do an act of love, to do a ministry of any kind, to bless people, especially when it comes to people. Willingness is based on what's it going to get for me. This is the natural man. What's it going to get for me? How's that gonna help? Because you've got to know the outcome. Rather than just obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to God. Many times it's not a specific word that you've heard, but it's an inclination of the Spirit. It's an inclination of the Spirit to produce or to do what God has spoken to you to do. Follow. And just hear, and just rest and relax and know. Because the will is present with me, but how to perform that is the goodness of God, I don't even know. I don't even know. I don't know how to perform. All I can do is hear and obey. Philippians 2. Say it.
Sometimes just hear and agree.
Yep. Hear and agree. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times you won't agree. A lot of times you'll just argue. Anybody does that? Hmm? You hear something? Nope. I ain't going to do that. That ain't, nope. Uh-uh. Not a chance. If you hear something you disagree with, say, Lord, show that to me. You say, Lord, show that to me. I don't see that, but that's flesh. See, he tells you things that you just don't know. He's going to show you things that you don't know. Remember over in John chapter 14, 15, 16, he's going to show you things to come. He said in John 17, he said, you know, my prayer for them is that they be one, Father, as you and I are one. See, so that we're one with him. See, Jesus' spirit made him willing. His heart had made him willing. Because he had said, not my will. Not my will. Chapter 2 of Philippians. Wherefore, verse 12, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, he's talking to the Philippians, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It means it's in there. He says, work it out. Work it out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you. Work out your own, for it's God who works in you. In other words, nobody else can do this for you. It's just you and Jesus. Amen? It doesn't mean you're alone. Okay, just work out your own. It just means just because I'm not here. Well, you know, Paul was here. Jesus was here. Somebody was here. Pastor Jim was here. Somebody was here. He says, work out your own, for God's in you. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, well, you're on your own, buckaroo. Hope you make it. That's not what he said. He said, as much as you did while I was with you, now that I'm not right there with you, your pastor, your mentor, your teacher. For it's God. Don't quit looking to man. Don't look to man. Now, God gives you the gifts. God gives you, you know, those who will share with you and build you up and strengthen you. But he says, I lost my place. For it is God who is in you, who works in you. So even though he said work out your own, what he meant was you and the Holy Spirit. You and the Holy Spirit. Both to will, both. To will and to do. See, he's in you. He's made your heart willing. First time I read those things over in Exodus and then over in First Chronicles, you know, he whose heart had made him willing. You know that it wasn't him. It wasn't the guy, the woman, the man. It wasn't them. It was God. It's God who made your heart willing. If you don't have a willing heart right now, if you don't have a willing heart, a willingness to do the will of God right now, I just want you to begin to thank him. Amen? I just want you to begin to thank him. I want you to begin to praise him. Father, I don't even have a willing heart yet. I thank you that you're producing it in me. All these other folks are just, you know, I don't know about them. But I thank you that you're producing in me a willing heart, which is a heart that's not after my own stuff. Now, I do have, you know, all kinds of stuff that in the natural, you know, you do. You come and go. You You know, you want the new Chevy or you want tickets to the game. Don't sweat all that stuff. Here's what I'm saying to you, is you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. As you're meditating upon the truth, meditating upon His Word, walking with Him, loving Him, knowing that He loves you and He set you free. And that there is nothing, nothing that can by any means hurt you. That He has cared for you. And that you just die. You know, God's love is that you die and you're resurrected in Him. So that you're no longer bound by your flesh. You're no longer bound by your anger. You're no longer bound by your sweat. He whose heart had made Him willing. Your heart. That's that same heart that, you know, we've received, not the things of this world, but the things which are of the Spirit of God. That's what you've received. Do you know that's how you live? We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Father, we just magnify You. We thank You that You have made our hearts willing. We are those whom His Spirit, whom Your Spirit has made willing. And Father, this day I ask You right now to cause us to not any longer look upon the flesh and be disappointed nor hope in it. The flesh is nothing. The flesh is nothing. It's nothing to be considered. It is not a thing to be cultivated nor a thing to be destroyed. But rather we come to You and to Your presence. We enter Your gates with thanksgiving and Your courts with praise. We're giving praise and thanksgiving and honor to You, and we're being transformed, changed. So, Father, right now, I thank You, Lord God, if there's any here who are fearful, who are nervous, who are unruly, that You give them joy and total peace, that their anger subside. Because they know the love of God. There is no pressure. You said, take upon You My yoke. My yoke is easy, My burden is light. And you will find rest to your soul. Rest to your soul. No more striving. No more striving. So Father, we magnify You. We thank You and we bless You and give You praise. Father, thank You for teaching us how to praise. Thank You for teaching us how to open our mouths individually, personally, and worship and glorify You in the congregation and in our prayer closet, to magnify and exalt You and know that You are our King. You are my provision. And I trust You and I praise You. I glorify You. I declare it. Father, I thank You that You're teaching me how to, out of my lips, both in public or in the congregation and in my prayer closet, out of my lips to declare Your praise, to have intimate relation with You, and to give thanks for all that You are doing to prune me, to chastise me, to cause me to grow up into You. Father, if there's anybody who's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior this morning, anybody at all, you want to receive Jesus, you want to say, Jesus, I've never received You before, I've never said, Jesus Christ, save me, come into my heart, you can do that right now. If there's anybody who hasn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, there's born again, and then there's an additional gift to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for power. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until you be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with power. You need power. You need power. You don't have to pray in tongues, but you get to. Amen. It's a good. It's a good. You'll like it. It's part of the package. It's part of what you need to walk in this willing heart. Well, they didn't have that. Well, that wasn't what God had prepared for them, but it's what He prepared for you. He prepared you. He prepared you. You don't have Moses. You don't have Paul. You don't have Jesus. You got the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's what you need. That's what God said. God said, don't leave without it. Don't leave church without it. Don't leave home without it. If you need the Holy Spirit, you come and receive prayer this morning, and we'll ask. The Father said, whoever asks for the Holy Spirit will get Him. You know, you don't have to qualify. Only qualification is you know Jesus. If you need healing or ministry, just for anything, come up and let's pray. Let's get it done. Let's get it taken care of. Let's come to the Lord together. Don't just kind of hold out and say, well, you know, I'll wait till another time. Don't wait till another time. You don't know where you're going to be another time. You're going to be here right. You're here right now. You'll get it taken care of right now. Amen. I mean, your dependence isn't upon people. It's upon the Holy Spirit. All right. Now we're going to receive our offering this morning, and then we're going to worship God, and then I think we're going to go eat at Jason's after a while, but don't go there now. So, Father, we just bless You. Thank You for this word. Thank You, Lord God, that You're causing us to be transformed. You're changing us. You're causing us to be a demonstration of Your power and Your glory. I just ask You, Lord, as You're ministering through this offering today, that every need be supplied. Not only for the congregation, but also for every individual who's giving, who's putting an offering in the thing, or everyone who's desired to give and has nothing. Father, I thank You for their desiring and their willing.